KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number 01874685.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Welcome, welcome. I am so stoked to be back on the air, and I'm really, really excited about some things that we're going to be talking about today. I am your host of All Things Napa, Lee W. Miller. And as Lauren mentioned, a full-time realtor, when I'm not behind this microphone, I am here as somewhat of my public service. I'm kind of obsessed with promoting local businesses. And that's why I do this show. And so I'm happy to announce that today we have two local business owners, Kathy Becker, owner of Calamity Jane's downtown, and Bernie Narvaez, Narvaez Insurance Services. And we're going to be talking with them about how the coronavirus has impacted their businesses and some things that we might want to do to help in this time of crisis, the economic crisis, health crisis. It's all related and intertwined. So with no further ado, Kathy, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Be sure and speak right into that microphone so that everybody can hear you. And with Kathy Becker, we also have Megan Fifield. The relationship is mother and daughter.
Good morning. Thank you.
Really close to the microphone, Megan. And we're also going to involve Bernie Narvaez in this conversation, just so we can kind of have a little free-for-all and everybody kibitz in about this very exciting news. So, Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Yes. All right. So, Kathy, give us a 30-second little background about you and your affinity to the Napa Valley, and then we'll announce your big news.
Okay. Well, as some of you know, I opened a shop downtown, Calamity Jane's, last year, and it's been great to be downtown. And through all of this, we're missing our neighbors, our customers, our tourists, and it's kind of been a little bit difficult to keep thinking going forward. So we've come up with some different ideas to help our community, which we're going to share with you today.
All right. And how long have you been in Napa?
Been in Napa a long time. I opened up last January of 2019.
Well, and as a resident, though?
Oh, gosh, 30 plus years.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
There you go. I know. I I'm always impressed at how many native Napans are still here, and then I feel like such an outsider because I've only been here for 7 years. So, but I'm trying to wield my way into the cool people who are native. So, Megan, give us a quick little 30-second introduction of you.
I've actually been born and raised into Napa. I was born in 89, so in Napa County my entire life. It's been incredible to see this community come together in a time of need, and I think this is a good time to do it.
Great. All right, Bernie, reintroduce yourself since we have not been on the air for like 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, so I'm Bernie Narvaez, owner of Narvaez Insurance Services, your local insurance guy here on Lincoln and Main Street. And then we also do DMV services, which we've seen a kind of an increase in that since the offices are closed. We've kind of been the go-to place for that.
Yeah, that's great. You know, when I lived in Florida for a couple of years, back when I was in the corporate world with Samsung, and they have DMV services all over the place. They're almost like convenience stores, like 7-Elevens or something. So you never really have to deal with the DMV. You can go to any of those. And it's not limited. I know you do a lot of those DMV services at your office, but, I mean, you can do anything, including license renewals and things of that nature at those places. I always thought that would be a great business to be in here, but maybe there's regulatory issues that limit only certain things that you can do. So,
yeah, it's only vehicles. Okay. We can do out of state. You know, I mean, we can do quite a bit.
Title transfers.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Duplicates if you lost. If you don't have titles, if you don't have the right paperwork, we'll guide you and make it happen.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, if you don't have the right paperwork, we'll show you the door. But no.
No, we always try and find a solution right before we say we can't help you.
Okay, good. All right. So, as we all know, businesses have been closed and, you know, we've all been looking down First Street and down, up and down First, Second, Third, Main, all the downtown area. That's where it seems to be the most glaring as to there's just no people down there. But it's not limited to just the downtown businesses. Obviously, there's so many businesses that are deemed non-essential. I don't know if they spun a wheel to determine that or there's some thought behind it, but we won't debate that. But there are a lot of businesses that are hurting. And one thing that we know about our community is, boy, in times of crisis, we come together. We moved here in 2012, and I was just blown away after the earthquake to see so many people. I never forget driving by Fuller Park. There was a glacier out there who set up shop on a table, and he didn't advertise, but soon word got out that all of your photos that fell off the wall and the glass in the frame broke, just go down there. And he just took care of people for like 10 days at no charge. He measured and recut the glass and put your picture back in. I was so blown away from that after living in Sacramento for 30 years. And Sacramento's a wonderful town, city, metropolitan area, but it just doesn't have, I guess based on its size, it just doesn't have that same small town mindset. And so that was one example, and there's so many others. And then, of course, after the wildfires of Napa and Sonoma County, our community just looks after one another left and right. So Kathy has an exciting announcement about how our community can once again look after one another for very little cost and great impact. So go ahead and tell us with a big booming voice what this idea that we're launching is.
You're really right, Lee. We've seen our community come together is through so many things, and this is just one more thing that we need to get through. So we have started a campaign. It's called We Are Napa. I have a friend that did this and we're modeling it after that. And what it will be, it's going to be a t-shirt campaign, and we are going to have our own shirt that is We Are Napa. And what this will do, it's going to benefit local Napa businesses. You'll be able to go on to a web store. It has not been launched yet. We're looking at Friday of this week to launch officially. So you'll be able to go on to this web store and see the products that we've got listed there. It's going to be a 30-day pre-order campaign. We will have a specific logo, and what this is going to do is provide much needed funds for local businesses. And how we're going to do that is you can purchase a shirt, a sweatshirt, or any of the products on this website, and there will be a direct donation to a business that is specified, which we can work through those details here, but that's the gist of it.
So my understanding, let's take the t-shirt example. $20 you pay for a t-shirt, $7 covers the cost of the t-shirt, $13 goes to whichever business, whoever's buying that shirt gets to designate. So they go to the website and there's all these local businesses that have signed up. And is there a cost for those businesses to sign up?
No cost.
So there's really no profits being made in this entire endeavor. Everything is to, obviously we got to cover the cost, but not profit for the company making the shirts.
Correct.
So everybody can afford $20.
Right. And you'll have some different options. There'll be some hoodies and different things. The exciting part of this is, and this is what we need to get out this week. Once we launch on Friday, we'll have a Facebook page, and you're going to see it posted on a lot of other local sites here in Napa. What I need people to do is to share that and get in contact with me at Calamity Jane's. I'm there most every day, just kind of working with my door shut. You can give me a call, however it works. But the more businesses we get listed as quick as possible, the better this is going to work, and the sooner we're going to start making money for our local businesses.
So go ahead and give everyone your phone number now. And of course, as I always say, if you don't get any of this information, LeeWMiller@gmail.com. You can always reach out to me and I'll put you in touch with any of our guests. So go ahead, Kathy.
You can either reach me at 707-286-9996 or at CalamityJanesNapaValley@gmail.com. And Lee, you've been a big part of this, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here and get this out. It's really important for our community. Like I said, there's no cost to anyone. What this is going to do is give some money back to our community and help.
You know, and it is such a simple concept that sometimes I guess people might think, wait, you're going to sell t-shirts and that's going to help the businesses? That doesn't sound feasible, doesn't sound logical. But your hometown in Michigan, very small town, 40,000 people, they raised over $100,000 with this campaign because they leveraged social media.
Yes.
And people continued to share and share and share and share. So I'm sure that that $100,000 didn't come from just the 40,000 residents of Midland. Just as when you and I first started talking about this a couple of weeks ago, I set the goal in my head that I guess I'm going to make public now of $250,000.
Yep.
I think that that's a realistic goal. It's not going to be easy, but I think that we can achieve that because the hearts of Napa County residents are so big. And there's so many people that love Napa who don't live here that they should probably feel the heartstrings being tugged a little bit too. So just to reiterate, the most important thing is during this next week, we need businesses to go to that link that we will launch on Friday, and they'll be able to list their name of, hey, I am a business that has had severe economic impact. I would like to help promote this campaign. And if the people buying the shirts want to check the box that I'm going to be the recipient, great. Is there going to be a limit to the number of businesses that are going to be part of this?
There's no limit to the number of businesses that can receive funds. We're going to take the first 250 businesses that sign up, and your name, company name, will appear on the first run original shirt.
Okay, great. So obviously pretty small print or very large shirts. So the first 250. I'm just so excited about this. I really believe that this is going to be something big, and I hope that the Napa residents get behind this, as I know that they are capable of. So, boy, there's other questions that I have. I'm just not sure if we have time. No, we do. We have a little bit more time. So what are some of the other things? And Megan, you haven't said anything yet. What are some things that we haven't covered yet that you are thinking that we should address?
It's hard to say, really. It would. I know there's a lot of questions, a lot of things that would need to be answered. I know this is kind of a weird concept, like you mentioned. It's weird to think that you can just buy a t-shirt and it's all going to go to these causes or to these businesses, really, and hopefully help some of the smaller ones that are struggling.
And there might be people out there that go, I don't want a stupid t-shirt. It's not about the t-shirt. And maybe there's people that say, I don't know which business that I should choose to be the recipient of the funds. So if they choose no business that goes into a general fund, and then those funds will be divided equally amongst all of the businesses that are participating, correct?
Correct. And there's also going to be on the virtual web store, there's also just a simple donate button, which you can choose any amount to donate.
Right. That's a really good point, because there are people with financial means that are greater than a $20 t-shirt. And if they want to, just like we did for the fire victims and so on and so forth, to be able to say, hey, here's $1,000. I really love what you guys are doing and I want to help and I can afford it. And they can designate that to a specific business or put it into that general fund.
Exactly. And also, too, there's businesses here that may not need funding, but you want to be on the list. And you can do that as a promoter to help us get the word out. Or you can also be able to donate those funds that were directed to you back into the general fund or to a charity, a local charity, if you'd like. So we have a lot of options.
Right. So if they do sign up, and people check that box and they do receive funds, they can do whatever they want with those funds. They don't have to designate in advance that my funds are going to go to charity.
They do not. We'd write.
Okay.
Yep. And this is just a simple way to give back into our community, hopefully make a little bit of a difference. This first couple months has been hard, but I think we haven't seen the long-term effects, and nobody knows what's going to come around the next corner. So this is just a simple way to start and give back.
You know, one question I think people might have is, wow, $250,000. A, that's a lofty goal. B, who's going to handle all that money?
So right now, Do Napa has, we've had a discussion yesterday. There was a meeting and they're on board to handle the money. So I myself or none of the businesses will be in control of the money. It will sit in a separate account and be dispersed in the future. We need to get through this first 30 days and get our pre-orders and see where we're going and get our businesses on board to be able to receive these funds. So it's going to be held.
Lots of oversight.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, when you first started talking to me about this, first thing I thought of is, I don't want anything to do with any of the money.
Me either. in transparency here is key.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest goal is to keep that. And once we do launch the Facebook page, you will see a live Google document. So the money is very transparent at all times.
Okay. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I know there's something that we haven't covered, and I just can't think of what it might be right now.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts to this at this point, and we're putting it in place. We're learning as we go as well. But the key thing is, if you are a local Napa business, please watch Facebook. We're going to blow it up. Get a hold of either myself or Lee. Let's get you on that list. That is the biggest thing right now. We need your contacts. We want to help. And we need to come together, Napa, and do this.
It's also not just the downtown area. It's Napa.
Napa City or Napa County?
Napa County.
Yeah. Yeah, the more the merrier.
Let's do it.
We do come together as a county.
That's right.
All right. So you may be listening to this right now and you're not a business, but you know business owners. And I would think that you feel a little compelled to let them know about this. So once again, LeeWMiller@gmail.com, reach out to me. And I will make sure that I put you in touch with the right folks. Look for this on Friday. And it's not going to just be on Facebook. I'm sure we'll be doing Instagram and things of that nature because everybody uses different ones.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe even LinkedIn. It doesn't really matter. We've got to just get the word out in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. So. And so let's start talking about it. When you stop at the taco truck today, let them know. Everywhere you go, and if you see business owners, if you are one, please get it out there. It's important. We want to get this as big as possible.
And that's the only downside of our announcement today, because my weekly show is on Wednesdays and not Fridays. It'd be great if we already had a link ready to announce. And truth be told, we do. But it would be a mistake for us to announce it because it's not up yet. So, right. You know, even though we know what the URL is, we're not going to tell anybody just yet.
Right. But we will see it. It's We Are Napa.
Okay. All right. I am really stoked about this. And I totally understand. I hope our listeners understand that when you jump on there on Friday and order your shirt, don't expect it to be coming right away because there's going to be that whole 30 days of trying to get thousands and thousands of shirts ordered in sizes and everything else. And then there will be the manufacturing process and the printing and all of that so that we have plenty of time to generate all of that and then have the shirts shipped. And there will be various options for whether they're going to be shipped to you or you want to come down. That would be ideal, especially, probably 45 days from now,
right.
When at least we're well into phase two, if not phase three. And you can actually come downtown and pick up your shirt and say hello to somebody.
Yes.
Still give them an elbow instead of a handshake, probably, but at least we can start getting back to normal. So.
And Lee, one other thing is this isn't going to end exactly at the end of the 30 days. We're going to take it into another phase. We're going to try to keep it as live as long as we can.
That's always the best thing that we can do. You know, and the thing before we jump off here to break that I want to make sure that we emphasize is the downtown especially, but all the local businesses in Napa really depend on local residents. And we need to remind people of that because it's not just, oh, I have a shop and I cater to tourists. Yes, we are a tourist destination and there's a lot of money comes from our tourists. But our local businesses, as we've all heard for years, even the nicest restaurants can't sustain themselves on tourists alone. And that's the same with all the retail shops as well. So If you learn nothing from this, remember to support local businesses. Join my crusade. And for that matter, if you know of a business that would like to be on this show, reach out to me on that as well. All right, we're going to be taking a quick break. We'll be right back.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate-related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number is 01874685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to All Things Napa. Bernie Narvaez is with us. Bernie, what did you think about that really cool idea?
I think it's great. After what we've been going through, the businesses, a lot of them have been devastated and somewhat isolated too, right? So this kind of brings us together.
Exactly.
We are Napa, you know, shows solidarity in a way to have hope and see a light at the end of the tunnel. Because
right.
Many of us don't see it.
Right.
I've seen already some businesses close.
Right.
They just couldn't survive.
Right. Well, we appreciate your support because you are such a very active and well-known figure in the community, having run for city council, and you're on the GPAC. Committee. So for listeners that may not be familiar with that, tell us again what GPAC is.
So it's the General Plan Advisory Committees. So we were appointed, 15 of us were appointed by the City Council to update our general plan, which is basically the business plan for the city.
For the next 20 years.
For 20 years.
Right.
So every 20 years we have to update it. That means we have to cover a lot of different elements like transportation, housing, land use, safety, sound. So you know, and it's a lot to cover. It's a 2-year process, but there's definitely been some delays in the process.
Oh,
which
I bet.
Is one of them. We've had a lot of things in the pipeline to be able to cover some things to educate the GPAC and get feedback from the community. So that's been challenging. Currently, there is a survey to get feedback from our community as we move forward in the land use element, which is, you know, how do we make best use of our land? Right, because we don't have much of it, and what does it look like in the next 20 years as we develop, as we build and redevelop? So that survey tells us what our community wants to see. Do we want to see 10, you know, story buildings, or do we want to see 3-story buildings? Right, that's what I want to know. I can assume the answers just from generally connecting with the community, but it's better to get it, you know, directly from people.
Boy, what an important fact that it is that the people who respond, that's really the only opinions that you're going to learn, even though if 20% of the people respond and they're very strong one way or the other, 80% might feel completely differently. But if they don't respond, the GPAC is going to probably go implement largely based on what the feedback that they received, right? You're not,
right.
as the committee, you're not making the decisions.
Correct.
For... Yeah, you're just
we're a thinking hub really, and providing feedback to the Planning Commission and City Council, We're going through its progress where we're working with staff, the consultant, the community, and you know, this group is very diverse. So where I would focus in one area, somebody else really contributes in another, and that's what really I think will make this general plan update very successful.
And well, you've been on this committee for what, 6 months now?
No, it's been longer. We were over a year.
Has it been over a year already? It's
been over a year.
I applied to be on the committee. It seemed like it was 6 months ago.
It's weird how time works, right?
I know. Well, wait till you get to be my age. It's even more weird. So is there anything that you can tell us, directions that are looking likely, or is that all top secret at this point?
No, this is a very public process. So everything is documented. It's transparent. So you can get involved as much as you like. There are members of the public that we have continued to talk to for different topics. For example, one is our climate element. How are we making decisions that impact our local climate? Because we've had power shutoffs, we had fires. I mean, what we're doing does impact our environment one way or another. So, you know, as we build, as we make decisions, how are we mindful of how we're impacting our community and our climate? So those are things that we're talking about, you know, renewable energy, you know, buyback programs to cleaner, you know, machinery, things like that that we're talking about. So hopefully we come up with something that is responsible and business friendly also. So we have to include everybody, right? Because everybody's impacted by decisions.
So when you have meetings, when you had meetings that were in-person meetings, was there like a gallery that somebody could just sit and listen to? Or were those closed door meetings, but then all of the notes and everything is transparent?
So anytime we have a quorum, it's a public meeting, has to be posted, and it has to be available to the public, either by a physical location or online.
Okay.
So right now we've had some meetings that we haven't met the quorum, so it's not subject to the Brown Act. So we have just community meetings. You know, we're members, whether it's business or if it's you know, parks or anything like that. Like climate was one I gave. And if you want to have a discussion with a couple of us, reach out to me and let's talk about what's important to you to make sure it's included in this process.
That's so important. And if you're listening now, there's your shot. There's your opportunity. And if you shirk that, then hey, that's on you.
So yeah, it's Napa. 2040.com is a website where you can sign up for newsletters and get updates and contact our group for input.
Okay, there you go. All right, so one of the things that we talked about 2 months ago, last time we were on the air, was this districting for voting. So give us a little update, or first define that, make sure that everybody understands what we're talking about.
So historically, Napa, the city of Napa has been at-large voting. So that means anybody can run within the city limits, and any registered voter can vote for any candidate within the city of Napa. Well, that now, as of yesterday, has changed. So in the beginning of this year, there was a petition, a lawsuit to the city of Napa to convert into districts. So there was a time frame that the city had to do that before it would get sued. So there was a choice, defend it or move forward with the process, and move forward with the process. And there was a lot of public input. There was maps that were created by the public. There was 4 maps selected to review. And then out of those 4 maps, they picked 1 map. Then there was a further review for that and then adopted. So now there are 4 districts in the city of Napa.
So each candidate, if you run, you have to be a resident of one of those 4 districts, and then the votes that you receive will they only come from that district?
Correct. So much like the Board of Supervisors,
okay,
if one of the supervisors is up for election or running for office and you do not live in their district, it will not show up in your ballot.
Okay. So I remember back when things were normal, you posted the districting map that you had created, and I was very impressed because I understand that the criteria for the maps have to be equitable in terms of population, and what are some of the other criteria that they had to be somewhat equitable on?
Population variation had to be, I think it's under 10%.
A 10% differential?
Yeah, between all the different districts.
Well, yours was like under 2%.
Right, but so I actually worked on several maps.
Okay.
Initially, I wanted each district to include downtown, right? I thought it was very important, but as we move forward, it seemed like it was very difficult to do that with and not keep a clean map. So there's a lot of things, neat and clean is not the most important thing, but when you're voting for somebody, you want to know what district you're in. You want to make sure it's clear to know what district you're in. Right. I think there's even confusion between, supervisors still, like what district I'm in, who am I voting for? Who do I want to support? So, being mindful of that too. But this map, I think it does a good job of creating an even, well-represented map. I know there's others that would show higher population one district over another, but we're very diverse in that. And we got to keep in mind that these numbers are from 2010 census,
right?
Not current numbers.
Yeah, that's what's kind of weird on the timing of this lawsuit is that it didn't allow for us to incorporate results from 2020 census. So, which I don't even know when that's going to be released. It's got to be so delayed because of everything else. So if it was normally would have been released in 2021, who knows when it's actually going
to
be.
Right. And once we have those, then we will go to a redistricting process.
Oh, you're going
to. Once we have that data, we have to take a look at the districts again and make sure that they're fair.
Switches the.
Well, the population, right? The data that we have to collect and make sure it creates a fair and equitable district, then we have to look at that, make sure it matches. So there's opportunity to make some changes.
So I guess I've never given it any thought, but I guess that's normal then that every 10 years or as needed basis, redistricting is just kind of a normal.
Well, it will be now. We didn't have to worry about it before.
Well, I mean, in general, for other communities that have been doing that,
as far as I know, yes. Once that data is there, because what could happen is one district could be, could be a lot higher than another one. One could be a lot more denser than other districts, and you're no longer having equal representations, not even throughout the city. So, and it's important. It's a good practice to have, right? Because as our population changes, our needs may change, our representation may change. We may need more districts, right? We may just, it might just be one line that moves. For example, we have the West Pueblo area that is an island, that's a county. The people who live there are not represented by the city. They're represented by the county, even though they're inside the city. They're within city limits, but they live in the county. So it's very odd where they live. It's time where the city needs to think about annexing that.
I'm a realtor, and I remember the first time I sold a house in that area, and somebody, I'm new to Napa, new as a realtor 6 years ago. I think that was the first house that I ever sold too, and somebody said, that's county, not city. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And they explained it to me. But yeah, that's pretty bizarre. I don't know why that wouldn't be annexed.
There's a lot of reasons.
Political?
No, I think that, they're responsible with sidewalks and crosswalks and maintenance of the neighborhood. It's a concern, I think.
There are no sidewalks there.
Well, that's what I mean, the lack of, right? It's costly, but I think that it's... That's not a good reason not to.
Right.
Right. I mean, it should be in the city.
City has to have sidewalks. That's kind of, and there are none. So as soon as we say annex it, then there's going to be a cost associated with that. So
there will be. Yes.
I know that the loss of revenue to the city and the county is causing major, rebudgeting and all kinds of things going on. You probably don't know about that because you're not on the city council. But
I did see that meeting last night. I mean, it went till 10. they're going over the budget, the projected loss. I mean, over the next 2 years, you're looking at, they're projecting as much as $30 million, I believe. They're looking at cutting about 39 jobs. Wow. It was very heartbreaking to hear our city employees call in and, you know, with the potential that they're going to lose their job. They're not going to be able to pay them. I mean, it's hitting everybody, not just the businesses, our employees, our the Napa workers, our city employees, you know, and our leadership really trying to figure out the best way forward. You know, I don't know. This was an introduction to what the projected losses are. They're going to keep, I think they're going to come back in 3 months to get more information. But, you know, the projections for TOT, zero.
Right.
April, you know, May, June, 0%, zero income. So basically, the, you know, two of those 3 months was 0%. I've never seen that.
Wow.
It was, I was like, am I really watching this? Is this real? You know, whoever thought 2 months ago we would be watching this budget, you know, propose this budget projection of such loss.
Right.
And every department is being cut. Parks and Rec is going to be folded into Public Works. The recreation is going to be in economic development. There's some serious consolidation going on with the city. And, you know, just my heart goes out to the city employees because they're going to be severely impacted. And I hope that the leadership can figure it out and keep these jobs.
Wow. I'm so glad that you're talking about that because all of us, it's just natural that we recognize and show sympathy to the local businesses. And we don't necessarily think about the fact that that's duplicated millions of times in millions of cities and all over the world. The economic impact is just trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that were just are gone. And then I hadn't really given any thought to the impact on government, because government seems like they're immune to a lot of those things, because if they need more money, they just get more money. But that's just not the case.
It's not the case. They, you know, you got to look at the loss and figure out what's going to give, you know. And some people don't know, but I served as a commissioner on Parks and Rec for several years. And as a department, is very near and dear to my heart. And to see this happen is very tough, you know, but it's hard to see this happen knowing that you have such a loss, but how do you save it? Right. You know, I'm not privy to all the conversations, all the information in there, but you know, if we can figure it out, I hope they do.
Yeah. All right. What were some of the other things you wanted to talk about today, Bernie?
So the Napa Chamber has launched a countywide business advisory group. So you have some of the greatest minds of our local community working together to come up with the best way to reopen Napa so we can get back to some kind of normal, new normal, right? Get those revenues back, save the city employees by getting tourists back, by getting our business up and running. What does that look like? That's what we're talking about. What's the safest way to do that, the responsible way to do that? So you have people from hospitality, restaurants, professional service. I'm working with a few other people in the professional service to talk to employees and clients. What's comfortable for you when you come to a business to make sure you feel safe? How does an employee feel safe? What's the best way to do this? And create those programs that the written guideline to the business community so we can do this correctly. We can get back to the economic engine that we had before, right? But it's not just the numbers. This is how do we do this together? Because if one doesn't want to, you know, work with us, and we can get that second wave. I keep hearing the second wave, right? Let's minimize that. Let's keep working together, because we to go through this again would just be even more devastating. I can't imagine going through this again.
Right. Is that committee made up of Napa Chamber of Commerce members? I mean, do you have to be a member of the chamber in order to participate in those?
Not necessarily. So they have the chamber has a subcommittee that it has invited other members and it's really doing outreach to members of the business community and say, hey, do you want to be part of this? So anybody interested, let me know and I'll connect you to somebody that's, you know, in your industry. So you can create input and help in this process.
Okay. How do people get in touch with you, Bernie?
You can email me at napabernie@gmail.com.
All right. And, of course, your commercials are playing during this show. So
that's right.
They can always get in touch with you. And, of course, they can always say, hey, Lee, how do I get in touch with Bernie? LeeWMiller@gmail.com. Yeah, let me go on record. I want to be part of that.
Okay.
Put me in touch with somebody.
All right, will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, what else, Bernie?
Well, just looking what our governor's saying, Friday, some more low-risk businesses are going to be opening flower shops just in time for Mother's Day. So don't forget, our moms out there need the love, love and our acknowledgement of their hard work.
My wife says that for Mother's Day, she wants surf and turf. I don't know where I'm going to get surf and turf if the restaurants are not open, but it was like this.
They're open. They're just not open to the public to go in. There's deliveries and there's orders and you can go pick up and, you can do a surprise delivery.
All right. Well, if anybody has any recommendations for surf and turf for Sunday, I'm all ears.
Okay. So, we have to, hold on to hope because we're going to get through this. It's hard to see the light in the tunnel sometimes, and the businesses that were not essential businesses that had to close. It's just, I can't imagine what they're going through. And I hope that they got the government help that they, from the economic injury loan and the payroll protection programs. I know some local businesses got it and they're able to pay their employees. So and some of them did not, some did not get the help. And I was very disappointed with the process from the government getting the money to businesses as quickly as possible, because that affects the employees.
Right.
And I
know a business that made their online application literally 2 hours after the program was announced. Crickets. They have heard nothing. They haven't received any money. And they haven't been told that they're going to or not going to. It's just nothing. And that's just really unfortunate. I don't know what the criteria, who's making the
decision. First come, first serve. But then again, you see these big companies that receive this money.
Oh, yeah.
They should have done it.
Right.
When you rush something, you tend to overlook some very important details.
Right.
And I hope that it was overlooked. It wasn't on purpose. I will say that when I looked at it on a Friday when they said they were going to open on Monday, and when I looked at it Monday evening after I was done with my office, I closed and I was able to take care of a few business matters. I looked at it and it was done. There was no money left. They were not taking any applications.
Right.
I felt like I blinked and I missed the whole thing.
Right. So let's talk about I want to use my voice here to encourage people who have a differing opinion to just calm down about your opinion and trying to change the minds of others. And what I'm talking about specifically is there's so much us and them and conflict between so many things in our society, politics, of course, and other things. And I'm not talking about Giants, Dodgers. Everybody knows Dodgers suck. So that one's okay.
Go Giants.
Yeah. But the opening of businesses, Fumé and Cordaire and people like that they feel compelled based on their economic situation or their belief and all these different things, that is their prerogative, and whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you should not be calling them names and say, I'm never going to do business with them. This is just my opinion, and I wish that people would live and let live and just quit being so judgmental. And it's so easy to bully when you're looking at a screen and you're not right in front of somebody, but those things that you're typing are still just as hurtful. And I don't think that you would say those things if you were right in front of somebody, a business owner that you know nothing about their financial situation. And if they feel compelled, Live and let live. All right, I said it.
What I would say is, as the chamber moves forward with this advisory group, is that we, you know, really create a path forward for businesses to have some hope, to say, okay, this is how we open, this is how we get back to life, right? So that way, there's a way, so people don't feel desperate. You know, people don't feel desperate. Businesses feel desperate. They tend to create their own path. So, you know,
and as long as they're doing it responsibly and they're putting those safety precautions in, I don't think that anyone who is advocating let's reopen is just saying, ah, let's just, you know, this thing's a hoax or anything. I know there are people that believe that, but the businesses that are opening, if they are, you know, restaurants taking half the tables out and they're using paper napkins and they're wearing masks and they're doing all of these things, and they're only going to be essentially operating at half capacity, give them some credit for at least being responsible and don't treat them as, you know, they just don't care about my health. Well, they're not thinking about your health. You need to think about your health and not go there if that's a concern to you. So, and now I'm up against the clock. I'll give you the last 30 seconds.
Well, you know, one thing for your business is create a safe work environment by creating a return to work policy. So if there's nothing else that you're using, just making sure you have something written down that you're doing every day to improve every time, if you, to make sure that you're safe, your employees are safe, and your workers are safe. If you are an essential business or if you're looking to start business soon as we look to reopen. So just be ready when you turn that key.
Right. All right. We got to leave it there. Thank you, Kathy, Megan, Bernie, for joining me today. And you listeners, remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters, because it absolutely does.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number 01874685.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.